Begin the current daf, Masechet Baba Basra, daf Kuf Samach Zayin. Begin 3 lines down with the Tab of the Yomit, where the Gemara continues in the related discussion with the previous daf regarding, as we were talking about, the writing of documents and the ambiguity that can sometimes crop up and regarding discrepancies and where you write on the document. So the Gemara continues with different teachings from Abaya regarding the care that a person has to take when they write their name or regarding documents. As Om Abaya, Abaya says as follows. Regarding somebody that has to write his signature on a piece of paper and then give that into the courts, and the reason for that would be so that the courts could recognize his own handwriting. Now, why would someone do that and not just come into the court and testify himself that this is his handwriting? So, a case as this is brought in the Gemara Masechet Ksubos Daf Chaf Aleph Min Aleph. For example, you have Reuben and Shimon that were signed on a document. Now, a document has to be verified that it's true that the witnesses are valid. Now, one of the ways that can be done is either that the person himself recognizes his own handwriting or that others recognize his own handwriting. Now, in this case, Shimon, one of the two witnesses, passed away, and there was no one that recognized his own handwriting. If he himself recognized his own handwriting, he could come in and testify himself, and that takes care of it. But if not, you need two other witnesses to verify his handwriting, his signature. Now, so Shimon is dead, and only Reuben and someone else recognize his handwriting. Now, the problem with that is that if Reuben's going to verify Shimon's handwriting with someone else, and he's going to verify his own signature, he's going to be collecting 3/4 of the document based on his own testimony. Because it has to be 50-50, two witnesses, each one 50. In this case, he's going to be doing 50 because of his own signature that he's going to recognize, and 25 because he's going to share with someone else verifying Shimon, and you can't do that. So the Gemara there says what should be done is that Reuben should sign his own signature, send it into the court. The court by itself will then verify that, look, the signature of Reuben matches the one on the documentation, and therefore the court themselves won't need Reuben to testify. They themselves will verify it. So the way he does it is he writes on a piece of paper and he sends it into the court. Now Reuben doesn't have to testify regarding his own signature to say that this is my own handwriting, my own signature. And Reuben, with that other witness, come and verify regarding the signature of Shimon. It's on that halacha that Abai is saying, when Reuben signs his name to send it into the court, lo lachvi b'seif megilta, he should not sign his name at the end of a piece of a paper, rather in the beginning on the top, that there's no empty space on top of his handwriting. Because Dilma Mashkech La'achar, because maybe someone there in the court might find that piece of paper, Viksiv, and he's going to write on the empty part above this guy's signature, Temasik Bezuzi, that he owes someone money. Meaning it's going to say on top of his signature, I, the one who is signed over here, borrowed from that person this amount of money. And Utnan, moreover, we learned this in Mishnah later on, Kaf Ayin Heim Bez, that would work, that person would be able to collect with that. As the Mishnah there says, Haitzi lov ksav yodai shu chayiv loy, if someone produces a document, a piece of paper, with the defendant's own signature that he owes this other person money, where although it says ksav yodai, Rashbam points out that means chasimus yodai, his signature, as we find similarly in Mishnah Masechtas Gittin, that when it says ksav slave of aid, that it's kosher, it doesn't, Rabbi Yirmiyah explains, it means chasam seif, I mean, not just his writing, but actually his signature. So the Mishnah later on says that if someone produces a document with this guy's own signature saying, I owe you, goyvim in the chasam, although he cannot collect with that from the chasam mishabadim, but it could collect from the defendant's own properties, and therefore says Abai, to avoid that problem, sign on the top that no one could write something on top of that, instead of writing on the bottom where you're going to run into problems. Now, actually, the Gemara brings a story related to this halacha that Ahu Vazvina, there was a certain tax collector that was a Jew. The Asla Kameh Dabai came in front of Abaya, and Amalei, he said to him, Nechzili Mar Chasim Izyadi, show me, you Abaya, sign your name, show me your signature, and I want to hold on to it. Tchi Asra Banun Machvili, so that when the rabbis, your students, come and show me that you wrote that I should forgive them the tax, so I'll forgive them, I'll let them go without paying tax, but I need to have your signature to compare it. Write for me your name. So Abaya, knowing this halacha, was signing his name on the top of the scroll. Now have a kenugid bay, but the tax collector kept on trying to tug at the piece of paper from the top so that Abaya should be signing a little bit lower down the piece of paper. Amaleis, Abaya said to him, as we just quoted the halacha from Abaya before, Kvar kadmucha rabban, and the rabbis already came before you. You think you're so smart. You think you're going to fool the old rabbi and you're going to make me sign something in the middle and you're going to write something obscene or bizarre or whatever it is in my name. I'm signing on the top, and they know what you're trying to do, and therefore you can't outsmart me. Another halacha, Amar Abaya, regarding the same ideas, mitlas va'ad eser, in the numbers from 3 till 10, le'lichtiv b'seiv shita, a person should not write that number at the end of a line. Why? Because maybe the person that's holding on to the document is going to forge and write, and is going to turn the word tlas, which means 3, into tlosin, which is 30. As we know, a person has to be careful on a check. Can't leave that empty space, because you could just keep on adding on the zeros. He's going to turn arba into arba'in, 4 into 40, 5 into 50, and so on until 10, which you could write eser into esrin, just add a yud and an end, and then it turns into esrin, which is 20. Now, the reason why it's only from 3 till 10 is because, well, Shnayim and Echad are written totally different when they're in the plural. But moreover, regarding 10, when you move on to 11, which is Achad Asar, which is 11, that you can't forger it, because then it would have to be written Echad Ve'esrim. You don't write Echad Esrim, like you write Echad Asar. It would be Echad Ve'esrim, 1 and 20, and therefore when you're going to have to put between the word Echad and Esar, besides adding on to Esar, Esrim, you're going to have to put a Vav, that's already going to look very tight, and it's going to be recognizable. So therefore, but from 3 till 10, that's problematic. Someone might go ahead and forge and turn it into a multiple number. Never, don't write at the end of a line. Now, but if it does happen that the number 4 or 5, whatever it was written at the end of a line, it's okay. What you should do is, nahadre ledibur, you should repeat your words. Mention the sum that's owed again and again. Train plus is in the 2-3 times, because EF should delim esrami le be'emtze sheet. It's not possible if you're going to keep on mentioning the sum, that it's not going to come out to be at later point in the document somewhere in the middle of the line. And then, even if, let's say, the earlier one's going to be forged and he's going to turn it into 50 or 60, as we had quoted earlier from our Mishnah, that ein yilamed el menatach, we only learn from the lower one, not from the upper one. So anyways, we're going to disregard the upper ones, and the lower ones, which are middle of the line, are going to say the right amount. Now, actually, the Gemara brings incidents regarding this halacha. Ahuda b'ksiv bei, there was a document that was written in it that this guy was selling to this other person from his garden, tilsa b'pardisi, a third of the orchard. Now, Azel, what the consumer did, who he's holding onto the document of the sale, which he really only bought a third of the orchard, he went and machki legage the bayis v'kari. He went and erased the roof and the leg, meaning the top and the bottom part of the vase, the shavi ufardisa, thus turning the word from a third in the pardis to a third and the pardis. And then the consumer was claiming, you sold me a third of your garden and the entire orchard. And look, here's the document, a third and the orchard. So Aslaka made that by, came in front of Abaya. Amalei, so Abaya said to the consumer, my time a rabach le alma lahai vav, why does this vav have so much space? Because it used to be a vase. Now he cut off the top and bottom part, just leaving only the right side. Now there's that space between the vav and pardesa. So kafti v'aydi, he bound him and till he got him to admit the guilt that he had really switched it from a vase to a vav, and that he was only bought a third of the pardes, not a third of the garden and the pardes. Similarly, Ahuda v'kasabed, there was a document that was written on it from the consumer that benus Reuven b'Shimon achi, that there was a portion that was shared by Reuven and Shimon that were brothers. In other words, they had a certain place, certain location, that they shared a piece of land, which were shared by these two brothers, and that was sold to this consumer. Now, Havalu Acha de Shmei Achi, this Reuven and Shimon actually had a third brother that was called Achi, who had a portion with them. But this guy only bought Reuven and Shimon's portion. Now, Azl Kasev Ve'vav V'Shavye Ve'Achi. But although the document said that he bought the portion of Reuven and Shimon that are brothers, he added on a vav, and he claimed that he actually bought the third brother's portion also, which is Achi. So it says, instead of saying Reuven, Shimon, Achi, Reuven, Shimon that are brothers, he bought the portion of Reuven, Shimon, ve'achi, and of Achi's portion. So Asla Kamed Abaya came in front of Abaya. Amalei, Abaya said to the consumer, my time adochikli al malahai vav kulahai, why is it so tight, this vav? It looks like it was so pressed in here, as if almost doesn't belong there. Kafti v'aydi, he bound him and admitted that, yeah, he stuck in the vav to make it look like he bought the third brother's portion, but really was referring to the brothers that are Reuben and Shimon, and not the third brother that of Achi. Another story regarding these halachas of forgery, Ahushtara, there was a certain document that was signed by two very distinguished Edim, that of Rava and Ravacha bar Ado. So Asla came to Rava. So this guy was holding the document, came in front of Rava, Amalei, and Rava said to him, you know what? Dein chasimus yodadidihi. You're right, this is my own signature. Miyu, but said Rava Tim Kamei Ravacha Barado Loi Chasim Limi Oilem. I never signed in front of Ravacha Barado. So although this definitely looks like my signature, but it cannot be because I never signed with him. Kafti Ba'aydi. So he bound him and he finally admitted. He says, yeah, that it was a forgery, and it looked so good that Rava said, yeah, it looks like my own signature. And actually, Amalei Rava said to him, Bishle Midi Diziyafte. I understand that you were able to forge my signature because it's a regular signature. You could just this way is a forgery. But the other one, that his hand shakes, and it looks like that the letters are almost like flying off the page. Hey, how about that? How are you able to forge it? It's such a hard signature as his hand shakes. How did you do that? Amar, he said, Anchi Yadoi Ametzer. He says, look, I'm a master forger. I put my hand on the rope that goes across from one edge of the river to the other end, which is that people would go on this narrow bridge. They would hold on to this rope, which shakes very much the entire time. So he said, I held on to that as I was writing, therefore I was able to go ahead and do the forgery of the shaky hand signature. Vamrilan, some say that he told them that come Azarnuka. I stood on the Azarnuka, which is a type of a flask that you use to draw water from a pit, from a well, v'chasav, and as I was standing on it, I signed, and therefore, since it was I couldn't balance myself so well, so my hands are shaking, that's how I was able to go ahead and do the shaky, but really, yeah, it was a forgery. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, continuing on the theme of this parak regarding gitin, which are the name for shtaris, for documents. So the Mishnah says, kaisim get le'ish. We're allowed to write a divorce document for a man, meaning we could write the get and sign it for him, and he could use it to divorce his wife whenever he wants to. Even though his wife is not with him when they're giving him the get as it's written and signed. The reason for that is because he doesn't need her acquiescence, because a woman could be divorced even against her will. So it's totally dependent on him, and therefore we could write it without her awareness. So to the opposite way, v'hashayva li'isha, we could write a receipt for the woman, which is what she gives to the husband when he finally pays her the ksuba, afa pisha'im b'ala'ima, even though her husband is not with her at the time, because actually for her it's a liability, and for him it's actually a merit. And therefore we can be mezakeh him, even if he's not there or around, and it's actually she's going to have to be careful that she doesn't lose it and that her husband ends up finding it until she gets paid her ksuba. So therefore it's actually something that's for his benefit, so of course he wouldn't care. We could write the receipt for her even if he's not there. But qualifies the Mishnah regarding these two halachas, ubavachi he makirin. But as long as us, the courts, that we recognize, and we'll explain this halacha, we have to recognize the parties involved, only then could we write it, even if the other parties are not there. Now concludes the Mishnah, this halacha, vabalnois and schar. Regarding these two cases, the husband pays the court fees for the document, meaning he has to pay the price for the get, and we'll explain the reason. And he also has to pay the amount for the receipt because it's his benefit, because it's that shouldn't allow her to go ahead and collect her ksuba another time, so we have a receipt. So regarding both of these documentation, the husband is the one who has to foot the bill. Similarly, we continue on another halacha, Amud Beis, says the Mishnah, Kaisen Shtar Leleva, we could write a document for a borrower, meaning that he borrowed money from someone else, because he wants to have it ready, because if he's going to want to borrow money from some of the guys, he goes, yeah, I'm a busy man. You have a document that say that you owe me this $1,000. He says, yes, I really went to the court. So we could write it for him, even though the lender's not there, because to the contrary, it's a benefit for the lender, and it could only be a fault for the borrower. So it's his responsibility. We could write it even though he's not there. But obviously, in case of the malva, we cannot write a loan document to the lender until the borrower is with him, because it's going to say that he lent $1,000 to this person and he never did it, so we can't write it if the borrower is not there. And regarding this loan document, it's the borrower has to pay the price for the documentation, and the Gemara is going to ask obviously that he has to pay because he's the one that gets all the benefit. The lender is not getting anything, can't charge interest, so of course he has to pay for it. The Gemara is going to ask that question. A similar halacha, we can write a document for a seller, meaning to say that he sold this to someone else, even though the consumer is not there because it's only a benefit for the consumer, it only could be a loss for the seller. But you cannot write it for the consumer until the seller is there, because it's going to say that he bought this from the other person, can't write it if the seller is not there to verify it. And Balakech Nesenschar, the consumer who he's getting the benefit, he's the one that has to write and pay for the documentation of this document that he paid for it and that it's his item. Continues the Mishnah, in Kaisen Shtari Erisin, we don't write documentations of engagement, which the Gemara might cut in Yechasim Abayz explains, this refers to what's known as Shtari Psikta, which as Rav Gidla explains, it means to say that each party says, the parents of the bride and of the groom, say, okay, how much are you willing to give for the couple? How much are you willing to give for the couple? That's when they get engaged, that's the documentation we're talking about. And so to Vinisuin, which refers to the Ksuba, which is the dowry when they get married, says the Mishnah, we don't write these documentations, Elamadash name, until we have the understanding of both parties, that of the parents of the Chassan and of the Kala. But, concludes this, Halacha v'chassan leisenschar, the groom, the chassan, is the one that has to pay for it because he's like the lekeach. He's the one that's he takes the woman. He is like buying. So therefore, as we said regarding the previous halacha, the lekeach is nice and schar. The chassan has to pay for the documentation. Continues the Mishnah in kaisvin shtar arisus. We do not write a documentation of a sharecropper, which is that he does the work of someone else's field and the profit margin he's going to get either a half or a third or a quarter. Or the kablanist, which is a different type of an operation, which is that he rents the entire field and he gives a certain amount of concrete that of wheat that he's going to give to the owner. So different types of rentals. So we don't write these documentations, which is to verify that this is the agreement that they had, Elam Adash name, unless we have the awareness of and the both of them being present. And the recipient, the sharecropper, the kablan, he's the one that pays because he's getting the majority of the benefit from this operation. Continues the Mishnah, in case in Shtari Berurin. We do not write these Shtarim of Berurin, which the Gemara explain what that is, or and B'chomai Sebezin, and all types of acts of the courts when they write these documentations, for example, Adarchasa, which is some type of a collection type of a document, Elam Adashneim, unless you have the awareness of both parties, like for example, in regarding the Shtar Adarchasa, regarding the collection document, is that we have to notify the borrower, although the lender is the one that's not getting paid and it's all about him, is that no, because the borrower has to know about it that he could quickly go ahead and pay it up before they write that documentation that the guy is going to go to collections. And b'shneim nisen schar, and actually regarding the shtar berurin, both parties have to pay for the document. Now, b'shneim lila, he disagrees and the Gemara is going to explain what the machlekes is, l'shneim kaisvin shneim, that for both you write two, in other words, the witnesses, they write two documents, one for one of them, and one for the other one, lezel atzma, each one gets one. So by the shtar beruin, which will explain what that is, so that's, that the Tanakhama said that they write it and both have to be present and they both pay for it. And Shimon Lil says, no, they actually write for each one an individual shtar beruin. Now, the Gemara asks, regarding the opening halachas of the Mishnah, ma'il bavache makirin, we said that regarding the husband writing the get, his wife doesn't have to be present. The wife writing the shaver, he doesn't have to be present. So the Mishnah said, but ubavache mekin, as long as we recognize the parties involved. So you can ask, what does that mean? So Rabbi Yehuda Merav says it means ubavache himaker, as long as the scribe and the witnesses recognize shem ha'ish beget, that the name of the man, where they're writing for him a get, you want to divorce your wife? Okay, what's your name? What's your wife's name? They can do it even though the wife's not there. But as long as they recognize and they can verify that this is his name, that it's the name of the man in the get. Why? Because we could be concerned that if we don't know that this is for sure him, maybe he's writing a get for someone else's name, and he's going to come to trick, and he's going to actually give it to the woman. And she's going to be able to go ahead and collect her kesubah. Because as the Mishnah says, ksuba is da pechesam beis, when the woman produces a get without a ksuba, should we go ahead and collect a ksuba? Unless if he has a receipt showing that he already paid it up. So to preclude that, we have to make sure that he is really that man. And b'shema isha b'shaiba, the same thing is regarding the woman who's writing the receipt, although he said seemingly it's only a benefit for the husband, because if he gets that, he's exempt. But we don't want her to trick, because what she's going to do with the receipt, she's actually going to give it, if she's not that woman, she's going to give it to the husband of that woman who divorced his wife already, and now he has a receipt, and he's going to make his ex-wife lose out on her ksuba. So therefore, what does it mean to bavachim ekirin? We have to make sure that this is that woman, and this is that man, regarding both the shaver and the get, respectively. Now, however, the Gemara tells us, Yesir Rav Safra, Rav Acha Bar Huna, Rav Huna Bar Chidna, these three Talmid Chacham were sitting, V'yosef Abai Gabayu, and Abai was sitting with them, V'yosef V'kam Abai Lahu, and they were sitting, they were asking the following question. The inference of this halacha is, Shema ish beget in. So when the husband's coming, he says, I want to get divorced. I say, okay, fine, your wife doesn't have to be here. They write up the get for him. So we have to make sure that he is that man that's written in the get. But sounds like Shemi Ishaloi. We don't have to verify that that is the name of his wife. So too, Shemi Isha Vesheva In. When the woman comes and say, I want to write a receipt because of my husband's get, that when he pays me, I want to be able to give him a receipt. We have to verify that she's the name of that woman in that receipt. Shemi Ishaloi. Sounds like we don't have to verify that it's the name of her husband that's being written in the receipt. That asks these Tamid Chachamim, Belechesh Dimokasa Bekita, but let's be concerned that maybe, regarding the first case of the man coming to write a get, maybe he's going to write a get. The Azlu Mamti Leli Itse Deheich. He's going to go, if we don't verify that it's his wife's name, maybe he's going to have someone that has his same first name. And he's going to then go ahead and give it to that other woman, which, as the Girsa of the Rashbam, as the Bach brings, is Umagarish Law. What does that mean to say? Meaning, he's not really going to divorce that other woman, but he's going to intend to permit this woman to get married inappropriately because he's going to give her a get. And anyone's going to ask, say, look, I'm a divorced. Look, it says my husband's name, it says my name. But the thing is, it was written for a different man. But his wife was not the same, but we didn't verify the wife's name. So he wrote some other guy who has the same name as him with that guy's wife's name. And you're going to end up running into that problem. So too, the other way around, regarding the shaver. V'zimnen azla kesuba isha kasva isha shaver. It's going to happen is that we're going to write a receipt for a woman. So we're only going to verify that that's her name. Problem is, we didn't verify the husband's name, and it's actually going to be a different woman that shares her name with a different husband. V'yavala gavra delavdila. And she's going to give it to a husband who is not hers, and this guy's going to have a receipt. See, I paid it my wife. No, the ex-wife is going to be, what? You never paid me my kesuba. He says, look at the document. It says your name, it says my name, and the court's verified that I paid it up to you. So therefore, ask the Gemara, how does it help that we just know his name for the get and her name in the shayva? You have to verify the other parties too. On that, Abaye responded to them. He says, you're right, Hachi Yom Rav. This is what Rav says. When it says, Shema Ish Beget, that when the Mishnah said, Allah Chabavad Shema Kirin, that they have to recognize the parties involved, it doesn't mean only the name of the man in the get. V'adim l'shema Ish, the same thing applies. We have to verify that that's the name of his wife. And the other way too, Shema Ish B'Sheva, when we say we have to verify the name of the woman in the receipt, V'adim l'shema Ish, same thing applies to the name of the man. You're right, because else we'd run into the problem that you all brought up regarding giving it to a different person that the women or the men have the same name, but the other spouse doesn't, and going to run into that problem. But then the Gemara continues on this theme. But then, but then if that's the case, so then even if you verify both the husband and the wife's name, but it still might be that another couple has the same names, both the husband and the wife, that live in the same city. Maybe there's going to be two Yosef ben Shimons that live in the same city. And Dilma Kasav Gita, maybe he's going to write a get. And he's going to go ahead and give it to the other person's wife. And she's going to say, look, I got divorced from my husband, says Yosef ben Shimon. And the witnesses had signed. So therefore, how does it go help and help that we verify his name and her name? It's Amalu Rabbi Acha Bar Huna. He says, Hachem Rabbi, you're right. Rabbi addresses this concern too. And he says, Shnei Yosef ben Shimon, Hadorim Be'er Achas, when you have two people with the same name living in the same city, then you only go ahead and are allowing them to divorce their wives when they're both couples are present, where then there's no more concern, because then we could verify to say, okay, bring proof that your husband had divorced you, because there are witnesses that would have been there, because when you have two people with the same name, then we have to do it in that way, and therefore there's no concern. Now the Gemara continues and asks, regarding this halacha of the Tana of our Mishnah that said that you have to have makiron. So the question is, why are you allowed to write a get, really, for any person? Because even if we recognize the names, because the scribe and the witnesses say, okay, wait a second, we're going to write it for you a get. Okay, what's your name? They verify. What's your wife's name? They verify. The problem is you run into is as follows. V'leichesh dilma azul l'masachrita. If we're concerned that people might go ahead and do this type of a crafty trick and give it to another spouse of the other party, which to make the other one either get divorced inappropriately or make like they paid inappropriately, maybe this guy, who his name, let's say, was Reuven ben Yaakov, he's going to move to another city just temporarily, and he's going to get used to umachzik le'lishmei, he's going to change his name, he's going to have people call him over here, but Yosef ben Shimon. He's going to say, what's your name? My name is Yosef ben Shimon. And the reason why is because he actually wants to go back to his old town and divorce the wife of the other Yosef ben Shimon who lives in that other place because of Gita. And now he moves to this other place. He's going to be there for some time. And he's going to write a get because he wants to divorce his wife. And then he's going to go take that back. Since we don't know of any other person with the same name over here in this town, he's going to get it written up, and he's going to go back to that other town and give it to the wife of that Yosef ben Shimon. So how do we ever write a get? Someone will just temporarily go out of town, make believe that's their name, get a get written for them, and then he'll go back to that to the person that really has that name and give it to that person's spouse. So Amar Rav Huna bar Chinna says, Hachem Rav. Rav also addressed this concern. He said, if a person has already has been under the presumption of a certain name for 30 days, then we're not concerned, because a person would not change his name for such a long period of time, because then people can stop finding out. Your name is Yisrael. Someone came from the town over, they said that your name is Reuben ben Yaakov. A person is going to be found out. For a few days, a person can play that trick, play that game. But for 30 days, if a person already has that name so long, we're not concerned. We assume that it is his right name, and we do write a get, because we're not concerned that there's some type of trick going on. And therefore, that's the halacha, and we're going to wait for 30 days, and then that's how we write a get. On that has to get more loyis chazik mai. But let's say he does not have a chazaka for 30 days yet. What's the halacha then? Then should we be concerned for this trick? So Abaye says, no, what you could do is the kore leva ani. You call him, and you see what he responds. Because you're going to catch a person off guard. You say, hey, Reuben, and he's going to turn around. Oh, they got me. So that's a way to do it. Whereas Rav Zudama, he disagrees. He says, no, Rama b'ramu use. A tricker, a crafty person, he knows the game. And Zar, he'll be careful to respond. And therefore, he says, no, there's no way to do this until you got to wait for 30 days, until it's muksik. Then the person would not be able to carry on that game for so long. And then you'll know that's really his name, and we don't have to suspect that he's doing this just to go ahead and play a game and do something inappropriate with a different spouse in the town where he came from. Now, the Gemara continues with the incident regarding these halachas. Ahu Tavra, there was a certain receipt. Davachasam Allah Rav Yimer Ba'aba. Rav Yimer Ba'aba was signed as a witness on this receipt. Now, at a later point in time, Asi Lekameha Hi Itza. So that woman came to claim her kisuba. So, but the problem was that there was a receipt written that it was already paid up. And as we said already, that we don't suspect that it wasn't that person. So Amrle, she said to him, Laba Nahavia. But I wasn't that woman that you said that was signed on her receipt. Maybe it was a different woman that had the same name as me, and the man had the same name as my husband, but I never received my kesuba, and therefore this receipt doesn't prove anything, and therefore I want to collect my kesuba. So Amar, so Rabbi Yimer Ba'aba responded to her, he says, you know what? Anon nami amri lehu. I also went and told the other witnesses who signed with me on the receipt that lav ihihi. She's not that woman that we signed on her receipt, and she's right, and she should be able to collect the kesuba. But Va'amri Li says to Rabbi Abba to the lady, you know what they responded to me? They said, no, you're mistaken, because she changed. Her voice changed, she got older, and says Rabbi Abba, they're right. And therefore you already received your ksuba, and it was you that we signed the shaver that we were signed the receipt for. And it's just because they told me, make a shu the kasha law. She just got older, and therefore she changed uvagala kala, and her voice got thicker and deeper, and that's why you don't look like the one that I thought so. But the truth is, you are that woman, and therefore you already received your ksuba, as we see here in the receipt that we signed for. Now, Abaye says regarding this halacha that avagav d'amr rabban, although the rabbis say, as we continue top of kof samachesem et alf, kivin shehigid shuv eno chayzer magid, the halacha is, as learned out of Masech the Shavuos daf lamedbezem et alf, from the words im lo yagid, which tells us that a person only, as a witness, only gets one shot to say his testimony. Once you testify, you can't back out and change your testimony and say, no, it really wasn't that way. So therefore, the same problem should be over here, where first Rabbi Yimer Abba said that, oh, she's not that woman. And then when they told him something, he changed his mind and said, no, you are that woman. So he should not be able to back out and change. And therefore, their shaber should not be valid for this woman. And so that says, Abaye, no, Tzuvim Rabbanan, a Talmudic scholar like Rabbi Yimer Abba, lav urche lemedik. It's not customary for him to be meticulous and to gaze and to analyze women that much. So therefore, the first time when he said as the witness and said, no, she's not that woman, that doesn't qualify. That's not valid. It's not considered chayzer magid when he says at the end, no, she is that one. It's just that your voice changed. Because since he's now saying that, oh, you're right, now that I'm checking, we rely on him and we believe him, and therefore it's not a problem of kimin shehogad shiv eino chayzer magid. Moreover, continues the Gemara, we find out who tavered that b'chasam ala Rav Yimer Abba. There was a certain receipt that also Rav Yimer Abba was assigned as a witness. Amrle, and the woman said to him, Lava Nahavia, it wasn't me. It might have been someone with the same name or looked like me, but it wasn't really me. And he said to her, Ivra Antavis. No, the truth is, it was you. I know it was you. And therefore, you cannot collect your ksuba. No. This too, Amar Abaye says, Afagav, although that we said the Tzuvim Rabban Alav Orchila Medag, it's not normal, it's not the custom for a Talmudic scholar to analyze and be precise regarding the features of a woman like Rav Yirmiyah, who, as we even said in the previous incident, that originally he had said that he doesn't recognize her. But however, Kivin the duck, since he says that he did check and he does recognize that it's her, we do rely on him, as we said regarding Rav Yirmiyah, that we rely on what he said at the end, because once he checks his duck, he does check, which actually Taisa asks that we could have known this from the previous incident, which Taisa actually says, no, the significance of this halacha is that in this case, since he says he checked, he would not be able to back out. Because once he said that he does recognize, he recognized. And moreover, the Gemara concludes this topic by saying, Amar Abaye, Hait Tzuvim Rabbanan, a Talmudic scholar, the Azla Kedushi Itzu, that's going to get engaged to a woman, Nidaber, he should take along Am Ha'aretz Bahadeh, he should take along an ignoramus with him, who gazes and looks and recognizes women, because Dilma Machvala Mine, because maybe others are going to switch the woman from him. As Rabbeinu Gershom says, because a Talmudic scholar, it's not normal and it's not customary for him to gaze and to analyze a woman because of modesty. And therefore, people might just go ahead and swap and say, oh, that was the woman that you were dating. But an Am Ha'aretz, who looks and he checks and he's not embarrassed, and they're not going to be able to switch because he's going to know. He say, hey, that was not the woman. It was this other woman. And therefore, take along an Am Ha'aretz so he could analyze, because although you're Talmud Chacham and you don't look, but you want to make sure that that's the quality woman that you had taken and that they don't go ahead and switch it on you.